I want to read from the Gospel of Mark, first of all. Mark chapter 1, just a few verses from verse 14. After John, that's John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Then over to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Again, Jesus was on the seashore, and he had seen the disciples fishing from a boat off the shore. This was after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And he called to them, and at first they didn't recognize him. Then they realized who he was. He discovered that they had been working all through the night. They had caught no fish whatsoever. He told them to put the net on the other side of the boat, and they had a record catch of fish. And then he invited them to come and have breakfast on the shore. So we come in at verse 15 of chapter 21 of John. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. I want to think this morning about three things that Jesus said to Peter. Follow me, fish for people, and feed my sheep. As we look at what Peter said, it's what Jesus said to Peter, and the impact that it had on his life, we'll consider what relevance and implications these sayings of Jesus might have for us today. So first of all, who was Peter? Peter, originally called Simon, was from the small town of Bethsaida, and he now lived in Capernaum by the Lake of Galilee. His father's name, we're told, was John, or Jonah. Peter was a married man because we're told that Jesus, when he visited the home that Peter shared with his brother Andrew, healed Peter's mother-in-law. No mention is made about his wife. We don't know anything about her, and some suggest that she may have died prior to this period. We're not told whether he had any children. But Peter was by occupation a fisherman. Along with his brother Andrew, they were in a business partnership with James and John, another set of brothers, the sons of a man called Zebedee. And it seems that it was a successful and a profitable business. They owned boats and all of the necessary equipment, and they employed crews of men. Galilean fishermen in these days were reputed to be rugged, coarse, fearless men. Their work would be hard and arduous, and the hours long. Sometimes, like the passage that we referred to, they laboured throughout an entire night without any result to show for their efforts. These men would be aware also of the unpredictability of the weather on the Sea of Galilee, where a storm could suddenly materialise without any prior warning whatsoever. These men had to be tough. And Peter would be typical of this group of men. He was a man's man. He could be brash. He was impulsive and impetuous. Peter said just what he was thinking, and he often spoke without thinking at all. He tended to rush into action first and then think of the consequences later. But as we read, one day Peter and his brother Andrew were attending to their business. The boats were beached, The nets were spread out on the shore for mending and cleaning in preparation for their next expedition, probably that very night. And it's thought that around this time, Peter would be about 30 years of age. And then what we read was that Jesus was walking along the seashore, and he saw them working there. And his call to them was, "Follow me." And they did. Such was the impact of Jesus' call. It says they immediately left everything and followed him. Peter could never in that moment of time have realized that his decision to obey Christ's call would mean such a change in his life. That call to follow was indeed a life-changing experience for Peter. He would be transformed from the coarse, sinful, rough-speaking man that he had been to an eloquent, inspiring leader and communicator. He became an ardent and committed follower of Jesus. The change in him would be absolutely remarkable. But the response of Peter to Jesus at this point was not one of Peter's unthinking, impetuous reactions, but it stemmed from his recognition of who Jesus truly was. At a later time, when people were speculating about who Jesus was, some were saying he was John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or another of the past prophets come back to life. And Jesus asked his disciples, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And immediately Peter, often the self-appointed spokesman for the disciples, answered without hesitation. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's confession and his declaration of Jesus the Messiah. And this is what prompted Peter to obey that call of Jesus, that call to follow Jesus. Faced with a choice, Peter willingly and unhesitatingly obeyed that call. So let's think about the call of Jesus. There will be many here this morning, I know, who can recount the time when we first sensed that call, that invitation from Jesus to follow him. Some may have responded immediately, like Peter did. For others, it might have taken some time to come to that point of decision. But I'm sure that all of us who have heeded that call would express the fact that that was the best and biggest decision that we've ever made in our lives. So what about you? Have you heard Jesus' call in your life to turn from your own ways and to follow him? Perhaps you've ignored or resisted that call. Maybe you've been coming along to this church on a regular basis. Maybe you've been reading the stories of Jesus in the Bible. And I want to tell you clearly this morning, Jesus is calling you to follow him. To submit your life to him, to repent of your sin, to seek his forgiveness, is to find peace and security and hope that nothing and no one else in this life or this world can ever give. I pray that we might never lose the impact or the freshness of that first call of Jesus on our lives. But then there's the choice to follow Jesus. Peter wasn't conscripted or coerced into following Jesus. He was invited, and the choice about how to respond was left to him. And his response, as we've read, was immediate. His decision was positive. He saw in Jesus the fulfillment of the hope of Israel, the Messiah, and it made perfect sense to Peter to give up what he had been doing and to follow Jesus. Of Jesus, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And we could do no better than follow Peter by losing no time in responding to the invitation of Jesus to follow him. But then what about the cost of following Jesus? For Peter, there was a cost involved. It tells us that he left everything to follow Jesus. He turned away from the security of his employment, from his colleagues, from his friends, to assert his allegiance to Jesus. And life didn't become easier for Peter in becoming a follower of Jesus. In following Jesus, he suffered many things, many hardships and dangers, imprisonment, beatings, opposition, rejection. But like the Apostle Paul, Peter counted it all as worthless, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Paul says, "For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage or rubbish, so that I can gain Christ." Ultimately, Peter was put to death for his faith in Christ. There is a cost in following Jesus. We will face opposition, ridicule, will be marginalized in what is an increasingly secular society. We do need to turn our backs on things that have been part of our past life. We often sing, "All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing." That's what Peter felt when he heard the call of the Lord Jesus. And although there was a cost involved, he counted it as little to become a follower of Jesus. Becoming a follower of Jesus, a Christian, doesn't guarantee us an easy life. It can be hard. That's why the Bible says that we are to take up our cross daily to follow him. And also, there are consequences of following Jesus. Peter's relationship with Jesus Christ radically changed his life. Daily, he was in the presence of Jesus, walking with him, talking with him, learning from him. Peter was not perfect. Peter never became perfect. He didn't always get it right, but as he spent time with Jesus, he gradually became more like him. Embracing Jesus' values, showing Jesus' compassion, learning how to please his master, and realizing that when he relied on his own strength, he would only fail. When we come to Jesus, he gives us new life. He doesn't patch us up. He doesn't repair what we have. He makes us new. He expects us, like Peter, to be in his presence daily, walking with him, reading his word, communicating with him in prayer. And as we spend time with him, he expects us to become more like him. Trusting in him, living in his strength, we find fulfillment in life, and we have that assurance of eternity with him in heaven. And you know, the compensations of following Jesus far outweigh the cost. But that's because, as we were singing earlier, that Jesus has paid the cost of our forgiveness and our salvation. He paid it by giving his life on the cross at Calvary, taking upon himself the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, so that through him we can be forgiven. We can be made right with God. We can have that assurance. Follow me is what Jesus said to Peter. Follow me is what Jesus is saying to us today. But then, secondly, Jesus said something else at that same time to Peter. He said, "Fish for men." When Peter chose to follow Jesus, Jesus gave him an entirely new purpose. He told them that from now on he would be fishing for people. He used Peter's background as a metaphor for passing on to others the good news of that call to follow Jesus. This became Peter's vocation, and he carried it out faithfully, becoming a powerful preacher of the good news of Jesus. And you know, when we do hear and accept the call of Jesus in our lives, it's not enough to relax in the security of our new faith. It's important and it's urgent to tell others of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We may not become preachers or pastors, but we can be witnesses for Jesus to the people that we meet and the people that we mix with. And so Peter was given this new purpose, that no longer would he be fishing in the physical sense, but he would be representing Jesus in reaching men, women and young people. But Jesus didn't simply tell Peter to fish for people and leave him to his own devices. He said not just fish for men, but he actually gave him a promise. He said, I will make you fishers of men. You see, when we come to Jesus, Jesus doesn't demand self-improvement from us. We're incapable of that. He promises us the training and the resourcing for the task that he calls us to. And by his power, he makes us fit for his purpose. He wants us to be effective fishers of people. And with this new purpose, into Peter's life came a new passion. In the way that Peter had been committed to and passionate about his fishery business, he now directed his energy, his zeal, his commitment into serving his new master. He was under new management, as it were, and he was wholehearted in his mission. If you're a new Christian, or if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, I want to ask you, are you passionate about serving him? Do you have the same vigour and fervour for him that you had when you first came to him? Are you more passionate about following and serving him than you are about other aspects of your life? These are challenging questions that we need to ask ourselves. What a great fisher of men Peter became. Throughout the New Testament, we see Peter preaching fearlessly and sharing the message of the gospel, irrespective of the consequences that it brought to him. Last weekend, I heard somebody repeat several times that the evangelized has to become the evangelists. In other words, when Peter followed Jesus, it became his task to reach others and to encourage them to follow Jesus. And so it's not enough for us to be satisfied with following Jesus, but we need to make him known to others. The evangelized need to become the evangelists. As followers, we, like Peter, are to become fishers for people. And then the third thing that Jesus said to Peter, much further on, at the end of the 3 years that Peter had spent with Jesus, Jesus is charging Peter with the care of other followers. Feed my sheep, he says to him. Feed my sheep, care for my sheep. He's telling him that he has a responsibility, not only for his own development, but for the development and the well-being of others. And as Jesus' followers, we have a mutual responsibility to care for each other, to encourage, to spur each other on, perhaps to mentor younger or newer followers. We are to feed his sheep. The metaphor here changes from fishing to shepherding. And Jesus talks about the sheep who have to be fed. But there's a salutary point here that we cannot feed others if we ourselves are not feeding on the word of God. And we need to be equipped if we are to feed others. Feeding is about building up. We eat, we feed, so that we can have strength. And we're to build each other up. Let me suggest that we're first of all to build each other up in our faith. Because faith is personal. So this is about our personal, our individual walk with God. We're to encourage one another personally. How good it is when we're facing problems for other Christians just to come alongside us, to tell us that they're praying for us, perhaps to pray with us, to encourage us. We need to encourage each other personally as we develop and grow in our faith. We're to encourage one another. But then we are also to build each other up, not only in our individual faith, but in fellowship together. This is corporate. This is about togetherness as followers. We can't follow alone. We need to do that in fellowship with others. We need to meet together. We need to worship together, to work together, to pray together. That fellowship, I used to say often when I was in this church, that the two most important activities of the church are the worship service and the prayer meeting. But sadly today, in many churches, these are the most neglected. Worship and prayer are the foundations of following Jesus. We can only be effective for him if we are truly following him. Feeding his sheep is the instruction of the Good Shepherd, who gave his very life for his sheep. And every one is special and precious to him, and should be also to us. So as Peter hears the voice of Jesus say to him, "Follow me, fish for men, feed my sheep," what do we conclude from that? Well, the first thing is Peter didn't always get it right. Peter often fell. He stumbled and fell, don't we all? Can you remember the time when Jesus came to the disciples and they were in the boat and Jesus walked on the water to come to them in the boat? And Peter, realizing it was Jesus, leapt out of the boat to come to Jesus and began to walk on the water while his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But then he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. How often do we take our eyes off the Lord? How can you follow someone unless your eyes are fixed on them? So to be following Jesus is to be focused on him. And Peter fell. We take comfort from that because Peter was not superhuman. Peter was just like us. He was human. He was frail. And sometimes he fell. Peter failed. Right at the end of his time of ministry with Jesus, when Jesus was about to be crucified, and Peter had followed and was in the courtyard, and he was approached, and he was asked if he was with Jesus. He denied that he was. And three separate times he denied that he even knew Jesus. What a failure after such a calling on his life. But you know, maybe we don't verbally deny, but sometimes by our lives, by what we do or what we fail to do, sometimes we can deny the Lord as well. But not only did Peter fall, not only did he fail, Peter was a follower. And even to the end, he followed. How did he come to deny the Lord? Because we read that all of the other disciples had forsaken him and fled. But Peter followed. He followed at a distance. And a lot of people say, you know, it's awful that he allowed that distance to be there between him and the Lord. But he was still following, even if at a distance. And then, at the time when Jesus had been crucified, he had been resurrected. Peter had seen the evidence of that. Jesus had appeared to the disciples. But still there were doubts in Peter's mind that Jesus was able to do all that he had said. And when, under that pressure, he said to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And Peter went back, having been a follower of Jesus, having been a fisher of men. Peter went back to fishing for fish. And it was in these circumstances that Jesus came to him on the shore and asked him these questions. You know, the story of Peter is testimony to the fact that God uses unlikely people and he can mold them into what he wants them to be. And if Peter could be used by Jesus, then Jesus can use you and me. It's interesting that three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And three times Jesus told Peter to care for his sheep. On this third occasion of Jesus coming to the disciples, as I said, at Peter's instigation, had returned to their fishing. He had gone back, in a sense, to his old way of life. And we do this, don't we? We doubt sometimes. We fail. We backslide. We regress. Sometimes we revert to our old way of life. But Jesus came to them on the shore and he invited them to breakfast. Peter couldn't wait until the boat got to the shore. He jumped into the water and he made his way to the shore. When Jesus told them to bring some fish, it was Peter who went back and dragged that heavy net full of fish from the boat to the beach. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me?" And each time he said, "You know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And the instruction was, "Feed my sheep." This in response to Peter reaffirming his love and his devotion to the Lord. And then, do you know what Jesus said to him after all of that? He said to him again the very same thing that he had said to him in the beginning. He said exactly the same as he came to him with on that first day. "Follow me. Follow me." Peter, even at that stage, needed to be reminded that after spending all of this time with Jesus, that he had to continue to follow. And Jesus reminds us today, perhaps of our first encounter with him, thinking back to when we first trusted him and when he called us to follow him. And he reminds us today that we need to keep following. So I just want to ask you, as I ask myself, in light of all of these things, in light of the story we've heard about Peter, are you following? Are you fishing? And are you feeding?